This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Our world is filled with religious confusion. From all parts of the world, we have differing religious faiths that all claim particular teachings are necessary. And yes, sadly, Christianity is no different. One specific teaching that stirs up so much controversy is which day is the Sabbath day of the Bible. Amazingly, many Christians are quite confused as to which day is the Christian Sabbath. Is it Saturday or is it Sunday? Millions of Christians don't realize Jesus Christ never went to church on a Sunday. He was Jewish, so he went to church on Saturday as his custom was. Yet, many in Christian religious circles will argue that Sunday replaced the Saturday Sabbath. Now, if that's true, and Sunday was indeed instituted, replacing Saturday as the Christian Sabbath, well then, who did this? How was it done? Did Jesus authorize the change? Did the disciples follow through with meetings on Sunday rather than Saturday? These are questions needing answers. So, stay with us as we explore this question: when is the biblical Sabbath?
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. I'm so happy you could join us today. What I want to talk about today is the Sabbath day, and we've discussed this subject in the past, but I want to look at it from a slightly different angle today. Now, why is the Sabbath day so important? Well, the Sabbath day is important because it's one of God's Ten Commandments. Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath day. He taught his apostles, he taught his followers to do the same. So we feel it's important to understand as much as we can about the Sabbath day. Now, in the past, we've talked about the fact that in the Western traditional religions, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, there are different ideas as to when the worship day should be. For example, the Muslims believe it should be on Friday. Many Christians believe it should be on Sunday, that should be the rest day and also the day that they worship. But there are Christians like those of us here at the Church of God International who believe that the Sabbath day is Friday sunset until Saturday sunset. The Seventh-day Adventist is another large church that believes in a Friday sunset to Saturday sunset Sabbath. But there are some within the Sabbath, the Saturday Sabbath-keeping community, who believe that the Sabbath begins at dawn on Saturday, and some of them believe it ends at dusk on Saturday. There are others who believe in the dawn Saturday to dawn Sunday Sabbath also. So you have these various ideas even within the Saturday Sabbath-keeping community. I want to look at this a little bit today, and I want to focus on what the evidence is from the Bible, because some of the reasoning that the dawn proponents use comes from opinions and outside sources that are not biblical. They do use the Bible, but nowhere in the Bible will you find the phrase that the Sabbath began at dawn on Saturday morning. You will not find anything in there like that. But you will find that the Sabbath began from an evening to an evening reckoning. You will find that language within the Bible. And there's also other supporting information that to me is very apparent within the pages of the Bible, that the Sabbath should be reckoned from a Friday evening until a Saturday evening. So let's look at this and we'll talk about it a little, because it's important to understand where other people are coming from so we can have dialogue with these people. Before we do any of that, though, as we always do on the Armor of God, we're going to offer you some free literature and also a free full-length sermon CD on today's program. Now, the booklet I'd like to offer you on today's program is titled Understanding the Sabbath Day. Sunday, the first day of the week, is commonly accepted as the Lord's Day or Christian Sabbath. But does the Bible teach that the Sabbath was transferred from the seventh to the first day of the week? Was the Old Testament Sabbath law nailed to the cross? Does the New Testament instruct Christians to keep Sunday? God commands, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How does this commandment apply to New Covenant believers? We also want to offer you a full-length sermon CD titled, How to Keep the Sabbath. How do we keep the Sabbath once we begin to observe it? To get that CD, to get that booklet free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. And you can go to our website to order also. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. That's www.cgi.org. Again, thanks for joining us on our program today. We're looking at the Sabbath, and specifically, when does the Sabbath begin and when does the Sabbath end? We here at the Church of God International believe the Friday evening is when the Sabbath begins, and it ends on a Saturday evening as it begins to become evening. Some within the Sabbath-keeping community, a minority, believe that the Sabbath begins on a dawning of the Saturday. Again, we don't agree with that contention, but we want to understand why do some people have that particular belief. And when we look at that belief, a lot of it revolves around what we read in Genesis chapter 1. Now, one thing to understand about the Bible is context is king. When we read Genesis chapter 1, there's nothing in there that is defining the Sabbath per se, but it seems to be talking about when a day begins and when a day ends, or what consists of a day. So that's important when we talk about when the Sabbath would begin, no doubt about it. But what you will find when you look at the commentators is there is disagreement from the commentators. And these are individuals who understand the Hebrew language. And I'm going to begin reading in Genesis chapter 1. I'm just going to read you five verses to talk about what this controversy is. And then we'll move into other parts of the Bible to see if we can get some clarity on when the Sabbath begins. So let me begin reading in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So notice, whenever this beginning was, the heaven and the earth was created. Now notice verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now get this, the earth is there. The earth is there. You can't deny that in verse 2. The earth is there, and there's darkness. The Hebrew words here for without form and void are tohu and bohu, and they mean literally chaos and confusion. So there's some chaos and confusion in this darkness that is around the earth or within the earth or whatever is happening. There's a darkness there. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now notice verse 3, and this is what the proponents of the dawn Sabbath will seize upon. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, what they argue is light came first. But we read in verse 2, the earth was there, and there was darkness first. That's what we read in our Bible, did we not? Because that's part of the debate. And I'm not going to get into all the nuances of the debate. I just want to set things up by looking at these scriptures as we begin. Now, verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now, once again, they seize upon the language there of light being discussed first and then the darkness, but we've already established that darkness was on the earth first in verse 2. Now, let's continue. Verse 5 is the key in this debate that rages between some of the biblical scholars. Verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So again, the order again is light and then day. But then notice the second part of verse 5. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, you might say, well, evening, morning, darkness is evening, light is morning. Now, those words could mean that. They could also mean other things. And I've consulted some rabbis on this, and they agree that the Hebrew within verse 5 is very difficult to interpret. So I've consulted a few rabbis on this, actually, and they tell me that the Hebrew there in verse 5, where it has this language of the evening and the morning, that it is difficult to interpret that, although these Jewish rabbis do keep a Friday sunset to a Saturday sunset Sabbath. Now, here's what the proponents of the dawn Sabbath say. They say that you can read evening and morning here as being that the day began, because they contend light comes first, that the evening then comes, and then the morning light comes, and at the beginning of that morning light, there's an end of the day. That is how they read verse 5. That is how they come up with their contention that the Sabbath begins at the dawning rather than the evening of a day, because they read verse 5 as that morning being the ending of the previous day, the dawning of a new day, and that is the first day. Again, the Hebrew is difficult to interpret. That is definitely a truth that I've come to find out. But let's think about this for a moment. As we go through the rest of the first chapter of Genesis, verse 8, let me just read verse 8 to you. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So you can read throughout verse 13, verse 19, verse 23, verse 31. It says the evening and the morning were this day, the evening and the morning were that day. If God had a different idea about when the Sabbath would be kept, do you think he would have gotten that to the believers on earth in him by now? Because the Bible has been around a couple thousand years now, you could say. And most of the people who look at the Bible say that the Bible, the biblical evidence, supports a Friday evening to Saturday evening Sabbath. That's what most people will tell you. I know there's always disagreement on something, but that's what most people will tell you. Do you think it's possible that God would have not allowed that knowledge to become something that his believers would be aware of in history? Something to think about. We're going to leave Genesis chapter 1 alone because of the great debate between scholars about it. We want to go to other scriptures now to see if we can elicit exactly what the Bible is saying about when the Sabbath begins. To do that, I'd like you to turn with me over to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. And I'm going to begin reading here about the Day of Atonement, which is one of the seven annual holy days that are considered Sabbaths and are referred to as Sabbaths in your Bible. Now, let's read what it says here in Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 26. pertaining to the Day of Atonement, an annual Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day, notice the tenth day there, of this seventh month there will be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation. So what a holy convocation is, the community comes together to worship God. Now remember, there wasn't light back then. They had some campfires and things of that nature, but they would come together during the daylight portion in order to worship God. So let's say the Sabbath begins in the evening. You aren't likely to have your convocation in the evening. You're likely to have it in the daylight portion of the very next day, which is part of that same day. So it says, on the tenth day of the seventh month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls. That merely means to fast, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work in that same day, just like on a regular Sabbath, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you, notice verse 32, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you will afflict your souls. Now get this, in the ninth day of the month at even. Now remember, the holy convocation occurs on the tenth day. Here we're reading that this Sabbath day actually begins the evening before on the ninth. Again, understand, if the Sabbath begins in the evening, that would be the ending of the ninth day. And as the evening comes on, that would be the beginning of the tenth day. And then finally, when we get to the morning part of the tenth day, the daylight portion of the tenth day, that is when they came together for their worship service, for their celebration. That's why it's easily understood why it is using the tenth day in verse 27 and the ninth day here in verse 32. But get this. Let's read the next phrase. In the ninth day of the month at even, now get this, from even unto even, that means from the beginning of the evening, the beginning of the going down of the sun, shall you celebrate your Sabbath. Now that's pretty plain language, folks, that this Day of Atonement Sabbath begins the evening of the ninth day. And obviously it would go all the way to the next evening, which would be the evening being the ending of the tenth day, the beginning of an 11th day in the evening. So that is flat out plain language on when a Sabbath begins. Now, some believe that the scripture implies when it says, unto even shall you celebrate your Sabbath. Some say that that implies a Sabbath in general is reckoned from evening to evening. Others argue, well, maybe not. Maybe it's just talking about this particular Sabbath. And that, of course, would be the contention of the minority group that believes in a dawn Sabbath. And they have a very convoluted way of trying to explain this away. I'm not going to get into it. You can read up on that if you want to research their views on that. But let me get to another bit of scripture, also in Leviticus. If you have your Bibles handy, I want you to turn to Leviticus 23, verse 6 this time, and we're going to read about another one of these seven annual holy days. This particular holy day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And again, it is an annual Sabbath day. It is a day when you don't do work, just like a regular weekly Sabbath day. Now notice what it says in Leviticus 23, verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month, notice 15th day is used there, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now notice, in the first day you shall have a holy convocation. So that first day is the 15th day. And again, I believe they would have that holy convocation in the daylight portion of that day. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. Now I just wanted to read that And we're going to move on now, except for this. Notice verse 8. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days, and in the seventh day is a holy convocation. So this festival was bookended by 2 annual Sabbath days that occurred 7 days apart. Now keep that in mind. I'm going to show you a little bit more information on the Feast of Unleavened Bread over in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 12. And let's see if we can see how this annual Sabbath day was reckoned. Exodus chapter 12, and I'm going to begin reading there in verse 18. Now notice how the wording is a little bit different, but think about what I told you about atonement. That's why the wording is a little bit different here. Notice, Exodus 12, verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day. Now we read earlier that unleavened bread was on the 15th day. Now we're reading about the 14th day. Now notice what it says. On the 14th day of the month, at even. So just like atonement began as the evening of the ninth was ending, or the ending of the ninth was occurring, and the beginning of the tenth at even, that demarcation in the day as even draws on, that same thing is occurring here with this festival. At the ending of the 14th day, as the 15th day is drawing on, as it becomes night, that is the sense that most scholars believe we should understand and interpret this scripture. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you will eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. So again, we've got that count of 7 days from the 14th in the evening as it begins to draw on the 15th until the 21st in the evening, until it begins to draw on the 22nd, they had to eat unleavened bread. Notice, they don't begin to eat it at the dawning of the day. They begin to eat it at the evening time as it begins to get dark. That is when you start eating your unleavened bread. Now, why would they say at the beginning of the evening here? Because you might eat something in the evening. You're not likely to have a holy convocation at nighttime, because that's much more difficult to do when you don't have light sources like we have today. Is the beginning of the day, when it's dawning in the daytime, that's when to have that holy convocation. But notice, it's telling us they have to start eating that unleavened bread the night before the dawning of the new day. So this again is evidence for me, and I hope for you, that their day, at least their Sabbath day here, began at the evening time rather than at the dawning of the day. Now, this is very important to understand, because you don't have a lot of scriptures that talk about the Sabbath will begin at this time. You don't have necessarily scriptures like that, but you have great evidence, like I just read, about atonement and about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But notice this. For me, this is really the important point to make on this subject. I'm going to turn over to the New Testament, Luke chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading there in verse 38 of Luke chapter 4. Listen to what it says. Listen carefully. And he arose out of the synagogue. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. It says he's coming out of the synagogue. Now, when would he likely be in the synagogue? On the Sabbath day. And most scholars agree that Christ came out of the synagogue on the Sabbath day in verse 38. Now notice what happens when he comes out of the synagogue. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now notice this. Verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now let me ask you this question. Why are these people bringing people who are sick and with diseases to Christ after the daylight portion of the Sabbath? Why would they be bringing these people to Jesus after the Sabbath was over? because the Pharisees were teaching that to heal on the Sabbath was a sin. And you can read throughout the gospel accounts, Jesus rails against the Pharisees and how they interpret the Sabbath. He says, you can heal on the Sabbath. You can do this on the Sabbath. You can take some grains and eat them on the Sabbath. Because the Pharisees had created all these rules around the Sabbath. But nowhere in the New Testament do you hear a peep from Jesus about any problem with how the Pharisees reckoned the time frame of the Sabbath. That the Sabbath would begin at Friday sunset and end at Saturday sunset. And here's my contention. If Christ had a problem with how the Pharisees were keeping the Sabbath, and we can prove from history, we can prove from Josephus, there are historical accounts that first century Jews were keeping the Sabbath from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. We know that for a fact. That's a historical fact. You can't get around that. If Christ had a problem with that reckoning of the Sabbath, he definitely would have said something to the Pharisees, because he said all kinds of other things to the Pharisees about problems he had with how they were worshiping and what they were doing on the Sabbath. If Christ had a problem with how they were reckoning the Sabbath, he obviously would have put that into his scripture, because this is one of the Ten Commandments. Would he not want his believers to observe the day that he had set up, that he was the Lord of? Come on, folks, think about that long and hard. Those of you that believe in the dawn Sabbath, think about that long and hard. How do you reconcile what we're reading here in Luke chapter 4? For me, this is very important evidence for the idea the Sabbath begins Friday at sunset and ends Saturday at sunset, because these people were brought to him after the sun went down, and Jesus doesn't say a word anywhere in Scripture about having a problem with how the Jews were reckoning the Sabbath in the first century. Now, there are numerous other scriptures we could get to on this subject. I don't have the time to do that today, but please, we want you to get that literature that I talked about earlier, and the literature was Understanding the Sabbath Day. This particular booklet is going to talk to you about things relating to Sabbath worship that I haven't even touched on today's program. We also want you to get that other document, that other CD that I mentioned at the beginning of the program, and that CD is titled How to Keep the Sabbath. So again, once you come to believe that you need to keep that Sabbath day, how do you keep that Sabbath? This CD will help you understand that. To get both, call 1-888-578-8791 or visit our website, www.cgi.org. Bye for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.